Fox and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. 31 construction workers have survived the partial collapse of a massive industrial tunnel in Los Angeles. Among them, Chelsea Fernandez's husband.
He called and he said he's out and everything's going to be okay. So I got to hear from him. And they're rescuing people out of there. And thank God everybody acted quick and everybody's safe.
The death toll has risen and so has the count of people still missing in flash flooding in Texas Hill Country. CBS's Karen Hwai is in Kerrville.
At least 120 people have been confirmed dead. Now, rescue workers say a key challenge in the search is sifting through miles of land and water.
More than 170 remain unaccounted for. Retribution for Secret Service agents assigned to protect President Trump on the day of last year's assassination attempt at a rally in Butler, Pennsylvania. CBS's Nicole Skanga.
Six U.S. Secret Service personnel were suspended without pay for up to 6 weeks.
CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
For Civic Media News, I'm Melissa Kay. The effects of foreign aid on international relations may sound like a daunting title for a Tuesday night presentation at the local library, but Greg St. Arnold of Milwaukee brought a group of close to 30 people together with alacrity.
I want you to find somebody you don't know and just go introduce yourself and say hi. So let's stand up.
When Greg quieted the room, he asked everyone to say to each other, "Thank you for sharing your country with me." He said there are a few things in U.S. history that we can reflect on with pride. Some of those include the efforts we have historically made to improve conditions in other countries and our relationships with them as we all live on this one planet. The hour-long presentation covered Greg's journey from studying abroad in Kenya to working as a congressional staffer for Russ Feingold, teaching for 8 years in the U.S., to his work with the Jesuit Refugee Service in Africa, where he eventually became the Director of Education for JRS in multiple countries. His knowledge and experience with how foreign aid is utilized has given him unique insight into why it's important.
There's three reasons why we should all support foreign aid. Number one is that it makes us safer. As Americans.
Another way that it makes us safer is by stabilizing unstable situations or unstable areas.
Greg said the third reason is that if U.S. aid, funding, resources, and influence are lost, other countries will step in to fill the vacuum.
It was both smart strategically and it was a good thing to do. It was the right thing to do for the United States to be engaged in kind of helping build and stabilize these types of places. And we've just kind of walked away from it.
What can we do now? Greg said talk to people about why foreign aid is good. Figure out their concerns, such as national security or growing markets worldwide, and how foreign aid helps those efforts. And support good programs. I'm Melissa Kay for Civic Media News. Real news and great conversation.
The Brewers dominated the Dodgers. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers with a night off after a dramatic 3-2 win over the Dodgers in extra innings, over 33,000 fans in the stands. Milwaukee with great pitching this week from Peralta, Mizorowski, and Jose Quintana to complete the sweep, manager Pat Murphy.
Quintana just stepped up. He wasn't going to be outdone by anyone. Gave us 6 innings, 2 hits or something like that. And the whole bullpen with McGill, Uribe, Koenig, Anderson, Mears, Ashby.
The Brewers closer Trevor McGill found out he's headed to the All-Star game next week. I asked Dodgers manager Dave Roberts what he thought the Brewers are doing best.
It's a team that play defense really well. Offensively, they just create havoc. They steal, they bunt, they hit and run, they don't strike out much. You know, there's going to be balls in play. Pat does a good job with the roster as far as trying to maximize and create offense, you know, with that ball club.
That's Dodgers manager Dave Roberts. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Rebuilding and refreshing local radio one station at a time. This Civic Media radio station is proud to be a part of your community. Learn more at civicmedia.us.
Partly cloudy today with a slight chance of an isolated shower or thunderstorm this afternoon. Our high today in the low 80s. Tonight, scattered thunderstorms, low right around 65. Tomorrow, thunderstorms likely with a high of 82. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now, it's 64.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Years ago, I had a rainbow. No, it was a shirt. It was given to me, and I wore it because I support all people. And a friend of mine, sure you want to walk around in that? You know, a t-shirt, people might think. I'm like, people might think I'm a human being that supports other human beings. I wear sports jerseys sometimes. No one ever says, are you worried people are going to think you're on the Cubs?
I don't think anyone would think that, though.
Oh, you haven't seen my curveball.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
My name is DeMar Hamlin. I play for the Buffalo Bills, and I play safety. CPR saved my life. I've teamed up with the American Heart Association as a national ambassador to help create a nation of lifesavers, turning bystanders into lifesavers through CPR education and access to AEDs. Nearly 3 out of 4 cardiac arrests that don't happen in hospitals happen in homes. Join me to ensure everyone has the chance to live longer, healthier lives. Visit heart.org/nation.
Jane Mattenair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, the Supreme Court says the Trump administration can fire as many federal workers as it wants. Jim Santel will join us to talk about that. Plus, Brittany Merlot and Weather and Wine.
Mattenair on Air, weekday mornings 9 to 11. You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR.
Live across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here is the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Good morning. It's 8:06. Nice to have you here up north on this Thursday morning, July 10th, 2025. And coming up later this hour, we will be talking to Joe Zepecki. We will also be talking shortly to Sean O'Malley about your money and the markets. Chad Holmes is off this week competing in Vegas, playing some poker. And then a little, I actually have to check his social media, see if he is still playing in a tournament there or if he's just enjoying the buffets now. And then we'll talk to him next week about his Vegas experience. But first, let's get an update on the forecast from meteorologist Brittany Merlot, as we don't have the hot, humid, you know, yesterday it was great to go for a Jeep ride, but, yeah, you know, when you're at a red light or something, like the sun just beats down on you. Not that I'm complaining. I'm just saying there's a lot of dark hair up here. It absorbs it all, you know.
It does.
It does. And so today feels a little bit different here in the Chippewa Valley, at least.
Oh, it's pretty nice for now. Very temporary, unfortunately. We've got a warm front that is slowly creeping into the state. It's going to start to push into western areas in just a few hours, continuing to spread statewide. So it is going to start to get muggy by later today. And we are looking at chances of rain really ramping up over the next 3 days, actually. So we do have chances of light showers, probably starting, like I said, into the western areas along that warm front late this morning. But then by this afternoon, around 3 or 4 or so, we're going to start to see some thunderstorms sparking up. So those will continue into the evening, and more rounds still expected overnight through tomorrow and into our Saturday as the cold front slams the state. So that is going to cool our temperatures, like the humidity behind that on Sunday, but we're still staying into the summery temperatures behind it as well. So what we've got to deal with over the next few days is the potential for flash flooding. I don't want to scare you guys, but I want you to be aware that these storms are going to be moving slow. There's a lot of moisture associated with them, and they could dump a lot. And of course, if you get a lot of rain over concrete areas in the cities, you could see some flash flooding on roads. And then also rivers are going to be rising too. So just keep an eye out for that as we go through the next few days. And of course, be safe driving. Turn around, don't drown, right? It's a catchy phrase, but it's true, because those roads wash out. Highways can wash out. Culverts can, you know, collapse, and the road can be gone underneath. And you don't know if there's electricity or stuff underneath there either. I wouldn't risk it. Don't do it. Don't drive through it. But of course, we need the rain.
No, yeah. But again, the turnaround, don't drown, is it's not just a convenient rhyme.
No.
It's only there to save your life. Tom and Jackson on the text line, please compliment Brittany on what a lovely radio voice. We can't.
Thank you.
It gets too full of herself. No, we can't. You know, I mean, listen to her. Just, it's all ego, that girl. I tell you. And this one, I don't know if this one's for you or me or Parker. It says, and this is on the text, RTRERACCNGOODEADDEATOGETE.
Say what?
That was 33 minutes ago. It was followed by one that says, I have no idea what my phone just did. Somebody
butt dial.
Somebody butt dialed us using the text feature on the Civic Media app. That's got to be a first.
We've had a couple of fun text line weird occurrences today. Yeah.
See, and now we got to get it through the voice note feature. We got to get people who, you know, they were going to leave us a voice note, maybe decided not to, forgot to hit stop, and then we get, you know, maybe we learn some state secrets. I don't know.
Right. They really feel.
Yes. So again, you can use that voice note app to ask Brittany a weather question or a comment or anything like that. And on an earlier topic about from Todd Alba, hitting Culver's late night. I did not know. Luke Mathers tells us on the text line that his Culver's is open until midnight and it is dangerous.
Yeah.
So I think a lot of them are more in the 11 o'clock area. Although Luke says the Madison locations are open late. Tell your friends, he says. So, yeah, if you get late night munchies for, you know, either a butter burger or, you know, a sundae. And who wouldn't want a sundae late at night? Doesn't that sound good?
It's true. Oh,
it's
a little
so
late
good.
Night ice cream.
Yeah. Their flavor of the day.
That reminds me, I still have ice cream cake left in the freezer for my birthday.
What?
Ooh. And you're not sharing with Todd Alba.
I'm not. No, I'm not bringing that to the fair. So I will at least we know what I'm having 50 minutes from right now. Brittany, thank you so much. Have a wonderful
you're
day.
Welcome. You too.
All right. So as I mentioned, Chad Holmes is in Vegas this week. He talked about this last week. He loves to compete in poker tournaments. He had a little bit of drama getting started in Vegas this week. I'll be very curious to see how he's been progressing through his tournaments there. So we'll catch up with him next Tuesday when he's back. I'm sure he will be doing local updates on 98.9 WXCO in Wausau on Monday. But regardless, we'll have him back on Tuesday. But that gives us a few extra minutes to visit with Sean O'Malley to talk about your money and the markets, because there are more than one or two things going on when it comes to your money and the markets. And so let's bring in Sean to talk a bit about what's new. Sean, how are you?
Doing all right, Pat. Doing all right. Yeah, there are a couple of new things.
Just a couple new things. Isn't this the week? This is the week of the deadlines. The deadlines.
The deadline was yesterday.
90 yeah, deals in 90 days. How are we doing?
Still one.
Okay. Well, you know, room for progress, shall we say.
90 days. How about one? How's one for you? Is one good for you?
Okay.
That's all we've got in terms of deals. But with the July 9th tariff deadline coming and going without event, other than the Trump administration sending out a rather, I've been debating how to characterize these, puerile, silly, factually inaccurate, those all apply. I think dumb is the one that I've heard most commonly in the other press.
Yes.
Letters, basically threatening new tariffs to specific countries. The interesting thing is that it was a form letter. So yes. The only thing that changed in letter to letter was the name of the country.
And again, I mean, this is what passes for diplomacy, is sending a form letter and just changing the name, and then sometimes getting the gender mixed up because you forgot to change it from one letter to the other. So the letters have gone out all about bringing money back to the U.S. through these tariffs. I don't think it works that way, Sean, and I don't think it does.
Yeah, no, it doesn't. That gets to that inaccurate, you know, factually inaccurate part of the commentary. This is not money that's going to be coming from overseas anywhere. No government is going to be paying taxes to the United States. What's going to be happening is that any tariffs that are put in place that are country specific, what's going to be happening is that anyone who imports products from that country into the U.S. is going to be paying those tariffs here in the U.S. So what's going to be happening is it's not going to be money coming from, say, for example, South Korea, excuse me. North Korea, that'd be a big problem.
That'd be really something if they were exporting,
sanctions violation. Mm-hmm. Coming from South Korea, say, a TV set or something like that.
Sure.
So the government of South Korea is going to be paying absolutely nothing. What's going to be happening is that whoever is importing those TVs from South Korea is going to be paying the tariff here in the United States. So what you're basically going to have happen is some entity in the U.S., be it a company, be it an individual, they're going to be paying the tariff to the U.S. government. So it's going to be an economic transfer from
it's a tax.
A U.S. company or a U.S. citizen to the U.S. government. Yes, it is a tax. It is absolutely a tax.
I mean, that's all it is. And to me, this is like a great, the great national civics lesson or the great national economics lesson is how many Americans will we be educating about this? And which ones are still going to be reciting the talking points about bringing all this money into the U.S. when that's not what it does? It was never going to do. But so we've got these tariff letters that are going out. The new deadline, quote unquote, is August 1st. If you believe that, then I've got a taco to sell you because, Trump will chicken out yet again. And yet, I mean, it's theater, Sean. I mean, it's manufacturing a crisis.
Correct.
And then when you back off of it, you make yourself look good. Like, I'm going to start this building on fire. Oh, I'm not. Aren't I a good person? It's really like that, right?
Exactly. And we have this from, a source that's very reputable, very close to the process, obviously does not want to provide their name because that would probably be the end of their career. But they're saying that, it's all just demonstrative theater. It's just kind of using it to manipulate the market, manipulate the political environment, and, people's focus and time and efforts. It's a distraction. It's so not real. It's a phantom.
So that's the stuff country by country. But then there are some product ones as well. And folks have been talking lately about a tariff that was put in place on copper. What's Correct. The story on that?
Yeah, so in addition to the existing tariffs we already have on two other metals, steel and aluminum, of 25% each, we now have a tariff on copper for 50%. So what we're seeing, certainly in the marketplace, because all of these metals trade on exchanges, on commodities exchanges, there's a big dislocation between overseas copper markets and the U.S. copper market in terms of the futures prices due to the tariff being levied. So what it means in the long run, or even in the short run, for the United States is that these metals are going to get more expensive. For anyone, any manufacturer who uses steel or aluminum or copper. So now you're talking not just automotive, you're talking copper is used in the manufacture of certain electronics parts. So a lot of that industry is also going to be impacted significantly by these tariffs. And, you will see an economic slowdown due to these frictions, due to these taxes being imposed on any company using any of these three metals.
I guess when I hear about the tariffs on steel and aluminum, I can almost think of like American industries that this is allegedly supposed to help, though it probably hurts more people than it helps. And the same goes for timber tariffs from Canada. I have a tougher time with this copper one. Is there something that would be so much more improved in the United States by having a big tariff on imported copper? Because I'm not aware of it.
No, it's really not designed to have any significant economic impact. Copper is, we're not a huge producer
I didn't
of
think
copper.
So. Yeah.
No. So we're not protecting any industry with that one. And really, we're not protecting anything with aluminum because, that's bauxite or aluminium. And that's predominantly, in the Southern Hemisphere in countries other than the U.S., so, this is, again, it's designed to be protectionism, but it really just winds up being a financial penalty.
I was going to say it's almost performative because if it's a fairly small impact, but you can put a big number on it, like 50%. You know, you can make it look like you're doing something when you actually are not. We are talking with Sean O'Malley, a finance and economics expert, and we will continue that conversation for some of you. Others will have a local update coming up, and then when we're all back together in the next half hour, we will be talking to Joe Zepecki, followed by Matt Nair on Air at 9 o'clock. From the heart of America's up north, live from Lake Wissota, thanks for making this the place to spend part of your mornings. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is locally grown radio, WFHR.
Hi, I'm Ashley, a certified radio digital executive. With decades of experience working with small businesses and owning my own, does digital marketing make you feel overwhelmed? Sometimes there are so many choices and packages to choose from. You could just sign up for everything and the kitchen sink, but there's a better way. Call me at 715-496-0710, and I can build the perfect package for your business.
Get those oars ready. It's time for Rafter Baseball. Your Wisconsin Rapids Rafter season is here, and there's never been a better time to get to legendary Winter Field. They have new and classic promotions going on all summer. And remember, if you can't get to the park, every hit, every pitch, every win is at 97.5 WFHR. We will have every game broadcast here as it's been for 16 years. Get to know the team with our segment, Meet Your Rafters, and listen for ticket giveaways. It's going to be a memorable summer with your Wisconsin Rapids Rafters and your 97.5 FM WFHR. Let's play ball.
Join the conversation with your favorite hosts or shows anytime. Find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Share your thoughts on our social media channels wherever you are, whenever you want. The Civic Media Network of local radio stations here for you.
My name is Ariel. When I arrived in the U.S. at 19, I struggled to find job opportunities without my high school diploma. My entire life changed when I took a chance and got my high school diploma at age 22. Everything I have, my education, my career, my marriage, I owe to the Adult Literacy Center and my teachers. They were with me every step of the way, helping with my English and math, making sure I push through all the challenges.
Ariel, your success proves that what I'm doing as a teacher has real meaning.
It was an honor helping you achieve your greatness. Now you're helping others achieve theirs. It inspires me.
Education was the key that unlocked all my opportunities.
When you graduate, they graduate. Find free and supportive adult education centers near you at finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
As Wisconsin as a fish fry on a Friday night, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, and now for something local from WFHR and WIRI Studios.
Yeah, it's a great time to try it. It's a kind of a risk-free, like, let's just try it. And
well, there's actually two products that have this great ingredient that we wanted to mention. They're both on sale. And we've been trying to bring you information on things that you'd want to take during the summer, especially. Mm-hmm. So from the Family Natural Foods brand, we have this brand new advanced eye care formula. This is real comparable. We basically made it to not only match but slightly beat the formulas that are recommended and sold by a lot of optometrists, by a lot of eye doctors. So this is a really great formula for anybody who wants, you know, support for eye health. And I personally like to take an eye product, especially in the summertime, because my eyes are exposed to a lot more sun, mm-hmm. a lot more UV. Even wearing sunglasses, it's a lot. So this is a really great eye health formula. Like I said, it's on sale. But we wanted to highlight one of the special ingredients in it, which I think is really curious. It's called Makui Bright. It's made from the Makui fruit. So this is a fruit. It doesn't grow in Amherst or in Rudolph.
Unfortunately.
This one grows in, I think it's Argentina and Chile.
Hmm.
So down, you know, by the equator, the other side of the globe that we're in here. And it's in another product. So Terry Natural made a brand new product, which has been really popular too. It's a hair, skin, and nails product. Hmm. So a great product to help if you want any support for hair, skin, and nails. So you could you could pick either of these products and get kind of overlapping support. You could get support for your hair, skin, and nails, or you could get eye health support. You know, pick your pick your direction. We also have a product for dry eyes that features this ingredient, so it helps bring moisture to the eyes apparently as well. So, you know, there's three options. You get the same ingredient, and I'll kind of highlight some of the great details about this. So what's neat about this Makui berry is it's a concentration of protective polyphenols. So anybody who's followed Terry, listened to his program on Saturday mornings, he talks a lot about polyphenols. Polyphenols are this, you know, we'll hear it. I'll continue reading here. It includes, so this specific polyphenol is anthocyanins that develop in reaction to intense sunlight and oxidative stress that the plant faces during their growth. So the fact that this helps protect your eyes and your skin is kind of the same thing that it's doing in the plant. So the plant naturally develops this.
That's really cool.
And us folks of very northern descent, like us are kind of mostly Germanic and Polish, our skin isn't really adapted to that. Folks who genetically are related to people from the equator, they have a little more resilience to this. And that's kind of like this fruit. It's from, you know, places that have intense sunlight.
It's really cool.
Which I love that. So it has a specific anthocyanin, delphinidin. It's a kind of a hard one to pronounce, but it's kind of unique to this Makui berry. It's highly concentrated in it, but it is responsible for both the fruit's deep purple color and its strong health benefits. One of the things that I wanted to highlight here was that this specific polyphenol helps prevent damage from ultraviolet rays, so UV rays, because it reduces COX-2 inflammation caused by sun damage, which can also be one of the causes of skin cancer. So we tend to think of COX-2 activity as only related to muscle soreness or arthritis, but it also causes serious issues in addition to that. So reducing this COX-2, you know, what I'm reading here is it's also going to help with any kind of joint pain and soreness, muscle soreness, which you might have more of in the summer if you're active. But it's also going to help protect your skin from this UV radiation.
And it's helping your eyes all along the way.
It's helping your eyes. So, like, we're just kind of like, they're just loading
check
it
the
up.
Boxes
it's
exactly.
helping with dry eyes, you know, dryness in your eyes. But the other thing, like, this is even better, if you can get better in this story here. It helps. So there's something called telomeres. And these are protective things that protect the chromosomes in your body, your DNA chromosomes. They're kind of the telomeres are kind of explained as something like the plastic ends on shoelaces that prevent them from unraveling. So, you know, like those things that sometimes they break down and they fall off and then your shoelaces unravel. That's the telomeres. You don't want that part to break down because it helps. It's a main contributor, significant contributor to aging. So this fruit extract from Makui berry showed telomere shortening by 52% after 4 weeks. So basically after taking it for about a month,
pretty quick.
The scientific report showed that it reduces by 52%, by half, basically, better than half. So that's another benefit. Katrina, I love highlighting side benefits. Maybe you're taking this for your hair, skin, and nails, dry eyes, like, eye health.
Oh,
but you're also like
telomeres are going to be better for like my longevity.
Yeah, you're also helping, you know, the aging process in your entire body. So, okay, that's cool. Let's see. It also showed significantly reduced markers of inflammation and oxidative stress in a double-blind, placebo-controlled study with participants aged 45 to 65 years old. And then the last little detail I was going to bring up, another placebo-controlled clinical study with women aged 27 to 57 found that Makui berry polyphenols improve skin collagen in just 8 weeks and significantly decreased redness spots and uneven skin pigmentation in just 4 weeks. So another thing, about 1 month, participants found that it increased the collagen, so probably reducing wrinkles and signs of aging, basically, is what they're saying in the skin, and it helped even out skin pigmentation. Which is kind of a hard thing to do. I wonder if it would also, they didn't use the word rosacea here, but I wonder if it would kind of help with things like rosacea, which is kind of hard to get to the bottom of.
And you don't hear that a lot as a benefit or something or something that can even do that.
So this product is on sale. I think it's selling for like less than $30 a bottle right now.
And it's called Advanced Eye Care. And then the Terry one is...
his new hair, skin, and nails product.
Yep. And that's also on sale.
That's also on sale. And I think the one for dry eyes is also on sale. So you can kind of pick, you know, what formula you want the extra benefits for, but they're all going to give you all those benefits because they all have the same fruit extract in it.
Not everyone, though, has an aglet.
You're listening to the Rapids Report, sponsored by Crockett Septic. To hear the full interview, visit WFHR.com, the Civic Media app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Locally grown radio, WFHR. As Wisconsin is saying the word bag instead of bag, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. Members of Wisconsin's Urban Search and Rescue Task Force, known as Wisconsin Task Force 1, or Wisconsin TF1, headed to Texas earlier this week to assist with search efforts following devastating flooding in portions of the state. Joanne Krulatz reports.
Five members of Wisconsin TF1, as well as three canines, left Wisconsin Tuesday morning from the regional All-Climate Training Center located at Volk Field in Camp Douglas. The team also brought specialized equipment to assist with search efforts, including a utility all-terrain vehicle and medical supplies. The Texas Division of Emergency Management made the request through the Emergency Management Assistance Compact, which is a nationwide mutual aid system. They requested Wisconsin TF1 for 14 days, but the request may be shortened or lengthened based on need. Wisconsin TF1 includes members from fire departments across the state and limited-term employees of the REACT Center. The members that were deployed were from the REACT Center and the Green Bay, Janesville, and Menominee fire departments.
The first woman to serve as a circuit court judge in Wood County has been appointed by Governor Tony Evers. Emily Nolan Plachek will fill the vacancy on the Wood County Circuit Court Branch 3, created by Judge Todd P. Wolf's retirement. Nolan Plachek will complete a term ending July 31, 2026. She has nearly two decades of experience working in Wood County and the surrounding area. Sheriff Sean Becker applauded the appointment, saying that as an attorney, Nolan Plachek earned his trust because of her integrity, her legal ability, her deep involvement in Wood County, and the fact that she is an honest, straightforward individual who treats everyone respectfully. I'm Melissa Kay for WFHR and WIRI News.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. Despite mediocre reviews, Dinosaurs prevailed as box office champions over the 4th of July weekend. As expected, Jurassic franchise Rebirth, also known as Jurassic World Rebirth, was tops at the box office, pulling in $147 million domestically over the five-day weekend and $318 million worldwide. The film stars Scarlett Johansson and Mahershala Ali and some pretty impressive CGI dinosaurs. Coming in second place was the Brad Pitt-driven F1, which brought in $26 million and saw a somewhat respectable drop-off of 54% from the week before. How to Train Your Dragon came in third place with about $10 million in its fourth week of release. The family film is now at $224 million domestically, with well over a half a bill worldwide. Rounding out the top five were the Pixar film Elio with about $5 million Buku Dolores, and 28 years later came in fifth place with $4.6 million at the gate. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
As Wisconsin is cheering on the Brew Crew, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Partly cloudy today with a slight chance of an isolated shower or thunderstorm this afternoon. Our high today in the low 80s. Tonight, scattered thunderstorms, low right around 65. Tomorrow, thunderstorms likely with a high of 82. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now, it's 64.
The day is here, the one you've planned and pictured in your mind 100 times. Guests arrive, soft music plays, and everything is falling into place. Today, you marry your best friend. At Distinctly Yours Wedding and Events, your celebration is designed to feel like you. Personal, thoughtful, and full of joy. Marsha and her team are with you every step of the way, making sure everything flows seamlessly so you can be present and take it all in. Because your wedding should be distinctly yours, down to the very last detail.
Data shows that after a child turns 9 in foster care, they are much less likely to be adopted. But the Dave Thomas Foundation for Adoption believes every child is adoptable.
Families, if you're able to let your hair down a little bit, there's a lot to learn from teenagers.
The clock is ticking for teens at risk of aging out of foster care. Learn how you can help at DaveThomasFoundation.org.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome Green Bay's own Frank Hermans into the studio to discuss his new show at the Meyer Theater. Then Madison film critic Rob Thomas joins the show to talk movies, TV, and Madison.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
The Milwaukee Brewers swept the LA Dodgers for the first time in franchise history in Milwaukee. Jackson Churio singled home the winning run in the 10th inning. The Brewers rallied to beat the Dodgers 3-2. The Dodgers, the defending World Series champions, now have a 6-game losing streak going. They are off today. They begin a 3-game series at home against the Washington Nationals Friday, Saturday, Sunday before the All-Star break. And then after the All-Star break, their first series is next week Friday at the LA Dodgers. So the road doesn't get any easier. But you can catch the Brewers National Series starting tomorrow. Coverage begins at 6:35 on several civic media stations across the network. Let's bring in Joe Zepecki at 8:36. Joe is here, and I don't have any place to start that is as surprising as waking up this morning and learning that the former congressman from up north, Sean Duffy, is the new interim administrator of NASA. I'm not aware of the qualifications involved other than having a spat with Elon Musk. And so I guess Trump putting Sean Duffy in there is a way to keep Elon Musk from taking over NASA. But that was not on my bingo card, Sean Duffy running NASA.
No, nor on mine. Mm-hmm. I was told over and over again that the Trump administration had done this so much more thoroughly and intentionally this time, and that they had so many people lined up to go and staff the government so that they could implement Project 2025. And in a lot of respects, they actually have.
Yes.
But not in this one.
No.
And it just continues to demonstrate over and over again that they're not serious about anything. They're approaching this like third, fourth, maybe fifth graders, giving them the benefit of the doubt, and just making it up as they go along. And that is a deadly, terrible, awful, toxic stew when you have the intentionality and the bureaucratic mind that Stephen Miller has when it comes to arresting people who have lived here for years, broken no laws, paying taxes. It's terrifying. On the other hand, you've got people like Kristi Noem who don't know how to run organizations that they are responsible for, who it turns out in reporting that came out yesterday, as Texas was flooding and families were losing their little girls by the dozens, Ms. Noem, as the head of the Department of Homeland Security, could not, would not, did not authorize the deployment of urban search and rescue teams, who are some of the toughest, bad word I can't say on the radio, people we've got in federal service who go into crises like this and pull people out. And she seemed unable to pre-position those resources despite the fact they were needed. And so those assets didn't get to Texas until Monday morning, 72 hours after there was a crisis.
Here is the exact quote from Kristi Noem talking about her visit to Texas. She said, quote, We, as a federal government, don't manage these disasters. The state does. We come in and support them. And that's exactly what we did here in this situation, she said falsely. Americans helping one another after such tragic events is proof that God created us to take care of each other. To which I would respond, yeah, by pooling our resources together, putting those tax dollars into a competent system of government that can act quickly with experts, economies of scale, and actual plans. And Kristi Noem's talk is as foolish as it is incompetent, as it is insulting.
Yeah. And like, there is an actual reason for this. We're not just dunking on Noem because she's a, you know, less than stellar cabinet choice. She is a less than stellar cabinet choice, to be clear. But she comes in into this big, massive department and says, we're going to impose new financial controls. And nobody is allowed to spend more than $100,000 on one thing without the sign off of the secretary. I got to get my department's spending under control. And in a vacuum, that sounds okay. But then when you see a crisis unfolding and you see her racing to get down to Texas to go on camera, which is a part of emergency response, I'm not disputing that. But she can't find the 5 minutes it takes to sign the piece of paper that allows these assets to pre-position so they can literally go and save lives. Then you're not very good at running the organization. Then you have set a standard that does not make sense in this instance. Maybe you say it applies to every organization within DHS other than FEMA, or when there is not a ticking clock. We have heard incredible stories about heroism, individual Coast Guard rescue swimmers saving more than 100 people, one guy. And Kristi Noem stood in the way, and because of her decision-making and lack of leadership, assets that could have done that kind of thing were not deployed to Texas. I am old enough to remember a time in our politics where that fact alone would mean that a cabinet secretary was going to be cleaning out their desk by Monday. I don't have a lot of confidence that's going to happen here.
Oh, no, no. She'll be rewarded, if nothing else. To bring it back, when we talk about people not in the right roles, and we talk about Sean Duffy heading up NASA, folks might be tempted to think, well, they look at the article in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel today by Lawrence Andrea, all about how the falling out between Elon Musk and Donald Trump has now led people like Ron Johnson and Derek Van Orden to back off of their man crushes of the world's richest man. And people might say, well, you see, it was, you know, Sean Duffy having that fight with Elon Musk that helped take the bloom off that rose. I would argue, Joe, it's not Sean Duffy's credit. It's the credit of the Wisconsin voter who in April saw what Elon Musk was trying to do and said, no, not here.
Yeah, the 11-point butt kick in. Yes. After Elon made himself the belle of the ball, it was that election that literally brought Elon back down to earth. I'm trying to figure out how to make a beam me up Duffy joke in there, and I'm not sure it's going to work.
It's okay.
But when people become a political liability, Trump and his goons cut them loose. And that's just, you understand it. Mm-hmm. The problem is that approach has infected the entire Republican Party, and they are not, at the moment, a group that is operating as if they have any principles other than what's good for me in the next 10 minutes. And that when you put people in positions of authority and power, you want them to have principles, even if you disagree with them or see them a different way. Like, that's a bet leads to better outcomes if you know that, like, listen, I might disagree with Pat, but I know that he is coming from a place of principle in the way that he is voting or the way that he is refusing to vote for something. That is more worthy of respect than what the Republican Party under Donald Trump has become, where they are all sycophants slathering at the behest of Trump, who has been known to go from one extreme to the other on an issue, on a person, on a moment's notice, because it is politically convenient in the moment. And we are losing something important in this constant chase of, let's just get through the day. Well, you know, let's just get through the hour. Let's just get through the next 10 minutes. That's how they're governing. And there is a cost to that that we are seeing from Texas to the millions of people who are going to lose healthcare to the strategic step backwards that this country is taking in our competition with China to be the global leader for the next 100 years, as you talk about things like climate change. And that there is a cost to all of this, and we know what some of it is, but we don't yet know what all of it is.
Let's turn to state politics for a moment. The state budget passing, and it being the result of some bipartisan talks, but that does not mean folks from both parties are racing to embrace it. And there are, admittedly, a lot of progressive folks who are angry at Governor Evers. And how worried should I be that the folks angry at Evers, who would normally be allies, will not be as fully participatory next year, shall we say? Is it just misdirected anger and put the focus back on the GOP? Or, as they've told me, you know, that's a convenient cop-out to say we've got to vote for Democrats no matter what. How do we process the anger that people are feeling who would normally be allied with Democratic actions?
This one's really hard. Mm-hmm. Because there is a school of thought that says, okay, folks, tell me how the Donald Trump presidency is working out for you. Because we saw this on the left in 2024, right? People took their ball and went home. And now we have this madness unfolding. And I think that's reductive and overly simplistic. It's okay for me to feel that way, though, to be like, want to shake people and go, what are you talking about? It is also okay for them to be frustrated because this budget wasn't good enough. This budget does not live up to what would happen if there was unified control across all three branches. And to me, when you get knocked down, you take an L, the response is, how do we get more next time? How do we strategically build power to make sure we're not in this position again next time? It is not, well, I'm going to take my ball and go home. Or, well, I got knocked on my can, I'm going to stay on the ground. How do you think Coach Z likes that when somebody falls down at football practice and doesn't want to get back up and get back in the game? That is actually the mistake or choice made on a football field that makes me angrier than anything else. And so when progressives are threatening to do that kind of thing because this set of budget negotiations, they didn't get everything they want, I'm sorry. That makes me a little angry. They have agency. We have agency in this. And the math is what the math is. Tony Evers had a hostile, not unfriendly, hostile legislature to work with, and he got wins. He didn't get all of them. It's not the budget he proposed, but the idea that because he didn't veto the entire budget, we're going to go, well, you're on your own. Sorry, folks. Yeah. That's not the way this works.
Right. That again, gives me, you know, PTSD from 2010. And that's a counseling issue we'll share for another time. From Tony, and I couldn't agree more, I think the governor should be going back to his original budget and sharing it with people, saying, this is what we wanted. Give Democrats control, and this is what you'll get. And he also notes, I disagree with Pat all the time. For example, he should be exploring a run for governor, but he just keeps talking about writing books and doing radio shows. A local update is next for some of you. Others will come back here for some final news and notes with Joe Zepecki here from Lake Wasota. Remember, you can follow my team at Up North News all day through our newsletters, social media, our website, and of course, right here, mornings on the Civic Media Radio Network. I'm Pat Wrightlaw.
But
As Wisconsin is brats on the grill for a tailgate, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Hello, doorman, I have questions. Word around Wisconsin Rapids is that DoorWorks is the business to ask about all things doors.
Why, yes. For over three decades, we've been the premier door service provider in Wisconsin Rapids and the surrounding areas.
What services do you provide? And can I order a custom style or color?
We supply, install, and service a variety of doors. If we don't have it in stock in our large warehouse, we customize the style, color, and more. Call DoorWorks for a free estimate today.
The day you become one with your partner is truly a special day for every couple. The Wisconsin Rapids Rafters want to add to your memories with their July 12th Renew Your Vows event. Bring your significant other as historic Winterfield is turned into the largest wedding in Wisconsin Rapids. Explore the wedding show displays throughout the concourse, bachelor, bachelorette party games, and a post-game vow renewal ceremony on home plate. Renew your vows with the Wisconsin Rapids Rafters, July 12th at 6:35 p.m. at historic Winterfield.
There was a time when barbecue was perfect. A strong, reliable flavor that could be counted on. But then big manufacturers decided that barbecue needed to be zesty or spicy or sweeter or whatever. If you miss the good old days of great tasting barbecue, we'd like to introduce you to Grandpa's Barbecue. Made in small batches from Grandpa's original recipe. Buy yours online today at grandpasbarbecueshop.com.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. Ever since I started the recombobulation area, I've written an in-depth breakdown of every new edition of the Marquette University Law School poll. The newest poll asks about a range of topics, whether Tony Evers should run for a third term, where people stand on Donald Trump's economic policies, and a host of issues relating to the state budget. The poll paints a picture of a polarized Wisconsin. Many people are very dug into their partisan camps, which is perhaps to be expected in the most evenly divided state in the nation. But there are a number of issues polled that do have the support of more than two-thirds of Wisconsin voters. Those include extending Medicaid coverage for new moms, legalizing marijuana, making major increases in state aid for special education, providing mental health services in schools, allowing citizen-led ballot initiatives, and banning cell phones in schools. What do most of these issues have in common? They are policies being advanced by Democrats in Wisconsin.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area.
This is Beth, host of The Kitchen's Open. Have you ever found yourself asking,
what's a good recipe for cookies my kids will love?
How do I avoid giving my guests food poisoning?
How would a restaurant chef prepare this meal?
If so, then tune into The Kitchen's Open, the show within the morning show each Monday morning at the start of the 10 o'clock hour. I'll tackle topics, teach techniques, or tell you what to do or not to do when it comes to cooking or the kitchen. I'll also bring you interviews with local chefs and restaurant owners. The Kitchen's Open. We'll tell you something good.
As Wisconsin as a game of cribbage with good friends, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, and now for something local from WFHR and WIRI Studios.
Hello all, welcome to WFHR's Rapids Report, proudly brought to you by Crockett Septic for this July 9th, 2025. Have your host, James, here. We're going to spend the next bit of time with our friends at the Wood County Master Gardeners Club, and we're going to talk about the 19th annual Wood County Master Gardeners Garden Walk. We have with us Lily Schotten with us. Lily, good to see you again.
Morning.
And we will be joined by Pam Ross. We'll be looking forward to hanging out with Pam in a little bit here. Lily, as long as we're talking, and before we dive into the event itself and the 22nd annual Garden Walk that is coming up on Saturday, July 19th, can we talk a little bit about the history of the Master Gardeners and just where this great group of people started and came from and how they got together?
Sure. Well, the Master Gardeners is an organization of people who have done additional training to, you know, basic gardening, to learn a little bit more about horticultural practices and how we can work with soil, water, conditions that exist to do our gardening better.
Mm-hmm.
We've been in the area for over 30 years. The Garden Walk started 25 years ago, actually. We took a little break during COVID years. But we've been doing this. It's our major fundraiser for Master Gardeners.
Mm-hmm. And you guys not only do some great work with that, but certainly, you know, even extending this to UW Extension and talking with Janelle Weir and so many other great people about this and this great group and what you guys do for our community and how beautiful you make it. And then speaking of that beauty, there is the walk itself, this garden walk, where people have an opportunity to really take in some of this beauty. For those that may be new to the conversation or haven't heard of the garden walk before, can we explain to them what the garden walk is, Lily?
Oh, yes. We have six gardens that will be featuring this year, Wisconsin Rapids, Buren area, and then out to Vesper. Each one is beautiful in and of itself. We have wonderful garden features with perennials, annuals, trees, shrubs. We have artists in the gardens, we have vendors, and we have music. The event runs from 9 to 4. We're even serving pizza along the way if people get hungry. So a lot to offer for people who come to visit.
We take so much pride and love in our gardens, some more than others. Some have put more time into them than others and that. But one of the things that I've heard over the years of this event is, for one, how many people get inspired and come up with ideas for their own garden from checking some of these out and everything. And then there's this also, and I love when these things happen for us. There's these moments for individuals in the area, whether they're from here or not, or live in this area or not, these moments of pride. And even if it's not your garden, but that you, it's in your town, it's in your neighborhood or something, or it's a part of our central Wisconsin area here. There's so many wonderful, like, added benefits and fun things that are brought with this event, along with, of course, some of the cool things we're going to talk about going on at the event in just a moment. But I always like to highlight these things that I don't know that we think about very much in society in our day-to-day life, especially if you have a beautiful, you know, yard in your neighborhood. Maybe it's your yard. And you see it every day. It's really beautiful. You look forward to it every summer. But I don't know that you get a chance to take a step back and really appreciate some of this stuff. And that's something that I think you really get a chance to do with this, along with sharing of information and maybe even finding some new ideas or some new inspiration.
I agree. Whether you're a novice or consider yourself an expert, you're going to gather ideas from what you see at the garden. Each one of these gardeners has had to deal with storms this year. Mm. They've had to do with excess rain. They have to do with conditions of shade and sun. And they can help you to understand how they got through it. I think that each one of the gardeners have told me at least once that they've had a plant or two that they really enjoyed, but it wasn't growing. They took it, moved it into another location, and maybe they helped it to thrive. So I hope that that'll be most people's experience.
It's a great point, Lily. And we have Pam Ross joining us right now. Pam, always good to see you. Always appreciate you. You know how I feel about you.
Good morning.
Nice to have you here. I want to get into the details of the event. Again, the 22nd Annual Garden Walk happening Saturday, July 19th, going on 9 to 4 at many different locations in our area here. And let's touch on the event itself and the prep that it takes to make this event happen. Got a lot of different individuals coming together to make this happen.
Right. I mean, first of all, it's an honor to be chosen as one of the six gardens to be featured. Mm-hmm. A little bit nerve-wracking because, you know, people are coming over. But I know the Master Gardeners do such a great job in orchestrating everything. And I think it's, what, Lil, 2 years ago that you reached out to me and I said, no, I don't think I could do this. My gardens aren't ready. And I said, maybe in 2025. And here it is. So the preparation, you know, really for me has been 2 years, but knowing the last few months, you're like, all right, a perennial garden, when you first, the snow melts and there's nothing there, you're like, I don't know if this was such a good idea. And it's amazing what happens over the course of time and with a little love and attention, some sweat. My husband's been out there with me and we've been having a good time. Mm-hmm. And things are just really starting, like the color is starting to come and it's like, okay, I think if we don't have anything bad happen between now and July 19th, it's going to be really fun.
It sounds so rewarding. I can hear it in your voice. And I imagine everybody out there listening is probably knows this, but just in case they don't, you know, we have somebody who's performed a lot in front, you know, talking about this and you're talking about being nervous about this where, you know, with the amount of things you've done, the live concerts and all these things and this makes you nervous too. That shows how much it means to you, but also how cool it is to be a part of it. First part you started with, the honor of being a part of this and everything.
Well, the nerves come from just so many things that are kind of maybe out of your control.
Mm-hmm.
And I've kind of let that go because it's like, if we're going to have bad weather, I can't stop that.
Yeah.
But I think the other part is that self-imposed, like, oh my gosh, there's an empty spot there. What are we going to do about that? And so I laugh at myself. But we've gotten so much support, and Lil's been there, you know, other master gardeners, other friends. I mean, it really is kind of a community garden in a way, because I've had so many people that have liked, or, you know, they've joined in my enthusiasm about gardening. So I have a lot of friends that, you know, we get together and we talk about flowers. So this will be a really kind of an honor of all of those relationships and all of the help, too.
It's a great note, too, to others out there that maybe have been thinking about getting into their garden, starting a garden up or something like that. Some of the notes that you just shared with us right there.
You were listening to the Rapids Report, sponsored by Crockett Septic. To hear the full interview, visit WFHR.com, the Civic Media app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is locally grown radio.
WFHR 1320 AM, W248DE, Wisconsin Rapids.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. A close call for 31 construction workers inside an industrial tunnel in L.A. that partially collapsed. Chelsea Fernandez rushed to the scene.
I live down the street. I ran over here and I asked the police, please let me through. My husband's in there.
Search continues for more than 170 people missing in Texas flooding. CBS's Karen Waugh says questions persist about a warning plan.
Several officials have refused to directly answer what exactly happened with these emergency alerts. We have some officials defending their actions, saying that they saved more than 200 people.
A federal court hearing underway in New Hampshire on a class action lawsuit challenging the president's executive order to end birthright citizenship. Legal analyst Thane Rosenbaum.
Lawyers in Maryland on Monday filed a similar lawsuit seeking a new preliminary injunction, halting any action denying citizenship to newborn